President Bush's nomination of Florida Representative Porter Goss to be the new head of the Central Intelligence Agency comes as the 9/11 Commission has called for the creation of a new cabinet-level office to oversee all U.S. intelligence activities, foreign and domestic. That idea seems to be gaining political momentum, but there are also some skeptics. Ephraim Halevi was head of the Mossad, Israel's vaunted foreign espionage agency from 1998 until 2002. During 2002 and 2003, he was the national security advisor to the Prime Minister of Israel. He's now head of the Center for Strategic and Policy Studies at Hebrew University in Jerusalem and a fellow of the Portland Trust in London. He's written a recent article on this and other questions for The Economist magazine. Mr. Halevi joins us now from Jerusalem. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
You write, in fact, in The Economist, sir, you call this idea of what we inevitably call an intelligent czar. You say no greater mistake could be made.
Well, I believe that from a professional point of view, responsibility must reside solely with the head of an intelligence agency. And I think the creation of a czar to oversee the intelligence agencies would cast a doubt as to who is in charge of what, who's responsible for what, where does the buck stop. Israel tried it after the worst debacle we had in intelligence, and that was the Yom Kippur War of 1973.
We should explain. Israel was attacked by Egypt and Syria, and it was a surprise.
And the surprise was all the more, shall we say, unpalatable and unacceptable because we had all the information. We saw the enemy across our lines, and the evaluation was wrong. We were able to repulse the enemy, but the losses were enormous. We suffered 2,000 dead, which for a country of what was then between 3 and 4 million is an enormous number of casualties. And there was an inquiry commission set up, and one of the recommendations was to set up an advisor to the Prime Minister on intelligence. And within a very short time, as I said, it transpired that this was not a good solution because you cannot have somebody to interpose himself between the head of the intelligence service and the political level.
Does it cut down on the number of ideas that reach a president or prime minister?
No, I don't think so. Here again, there is something which I think was dealt with extensively, at least by the commission which investigated the Iraqi complex.
This is the weapons of mass destruction investigation.
And one of the drawbacks of the system which the Senate commission pointed out was the sin of groupthought, if I'm not mistaken. It was groupthink.
Yeah.
How do you reach an intelligence estimate, if not by groupthink? You get people sitting around a table, you get people to discuss an issue, and then at a certain given moment, somebody says, well, let's ask A or B or C to try and draw up a document to summarize what we've said and see whether we can get agreement.
Wasn't the caution about groupthink that the 9/11 Commission issued, at least I got the impression, it was more related to the idea that people inside a system, if they want to survive in that bureaucracy, sense what viewpoint is popular and is going to win out and find a way to support it, that it's hard for them to voice the dissonant point of view?
Well, what I can say is that in our system, since the Yom Kippur War, since the intelligence debacle which I mentioned, there has been always the existence of a function inside the intelligence community which, translated into English, says, what do we think the opposite? What is the opposite view? Mm-hmm. In other words, let's think about things exactly opposite to what the authorized view is. So I don't think that there is a climate or a culture, either in Israel or, if I may say so, in the United States, to the best of my knowledge, and I've had an intimate relationship with the intelligence community in the United States for close to 40 years, I have never sensed a lack of freedom of people to express their individual views at any given level.
Mr. Halevi, you seem to suggest in the article you wrote for The Economist that the problem is less the structure or bureaucracy of intelligence than just the lack of being able to get solid information on the ground.
Yes, indeed. I'll say more than this. Sometimes it's almost impossible to obtain the information. One has to make decisions and evaluations on the basis of imperfect information. You have to make decisions in conditions of uncertainty. You're not sure. You don't have all the information. And here, of course, you mustn't discount this important knack of intelligence, which unfortunately, I believe, has suffered a severe blow due to the reports which have been issued in recent weeks and the manner in which the culture of the intelligence organizations in the United States were castigated by the commissions wrought enormous damage, in my opinion, to the future functioning of these intelligence services for quite some time to come.
Mr. Halevy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, and I wish you well.
Ephraim Halevy, who was head of Mossad, Israel's foreign espionage service, he's now head of the Center for Strategic and Policy Studies at Hebrew University in Jerusalem.